Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We come back for one final time to that wonderful text in James 1:5, that familiar text which says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." We have examined this text from nearly every aspect, but there's still one more point, and a very important one indeed, that we need to look at today. And so we'll do that, Lord willing, right after I welcome you to this Friday, December 16 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and remind you of our need for financial support in order to maintain this program on this and other stations. What have we seen so far in James 1:5, this text which deals with wisdom for life's trials? Well, we have seen, number one, the great need, namely wisdom. We need it. We don't always know that we need it. We're not always conscious that we need it, but we do need it. We need wisdom. We need a lot of wisdom. We need a lot more wisdom than we have. We need a lot more wisdom than we apply for, but we need it. And because in the context, this is in response to trials, we realize that God sends trials to make us aware of our need for wisdom. And so when you are in a trial, what is that? Among other things, that is God saying, Yoo-hoo, do you sense your need of wisdom? I want to hear from you. I want you to come to my throne of grace. I want you to approach me as your heavenly Father. I want you to acknowledge your need of wisdom, and I want you to acknowledge that I'm the source of wisdom, and I want you to acknowledge that I have promised wisdom, and I want you to acknowledge that I am delighted to grant wisdom. I have sent you this trial as an opportunity for you to become more spiritually wise. For our great need is for more wisdom. Secondly, we have seen in this text the ultimate source of wisdom, namely God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. The third area is the appointed means by which we receive wisdom, and that is prayer. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and of course that is the simplest definition of prayer. Prayer, one writer wrote a whole book many years ago entitled Prayer, Asking and Receiving. Now, I do not for a moment think that prayer is exclusively asking. It is not exclusively petitioning for benefits from God. And I don't even think that it's primarily that, but that is an important aspect of it. And God is delighted when we come to him as his children and let our request be known. And when our request is for wisdom, and we go to God with a humble heart of faith, asking God to dispense that wisdom, there is a sure response. And that is the fourth concept in this text, the sure response. For the text ends by saying, and it will be given him. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. That is a straightforward promise. The promise is that all who ask for wisdom in faith will receive, exactly what they ask for. Now, prayer promises always need to be understood in their context. Sometimes people teach erroneously that whatever we ask for is always assured of a positive response, but the Bible does not teach that. In fact, the Bible couches many of the prayer promises in very restrictive language. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. If we ask in His name, then we shall receive what we request. And, of course, that turns out to be more than just the formula. I'm praying this in Jesus' name. There, I've said it in Jesus' name. That's not what it means. It means to pray, well, it means a number of things, but it means, among other things, to pray as Jesus Himself would pray. You say, how do I know? How could I possibly know what Jesus would pray? By studying the life of Jesus in the Scriptures, by getting to know Jesus as He's revealed in the Word, by taking the things that God has by the Holy Spirit revealed to us about Jesus and getting to know Him so that you will know what He would ask for. Now, you may not know perfectly in every case, and that's why we have to fall back many times upon what Jesus Himself said in prayer to the Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Even Christ made a request which was not the will of the Heavenly Father. He requested, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, if it be possible. He didn't pray, Lord, let this cup pass from me, without that disclaimer or that phrase in there, if it be possible. He certainly didn't demand. I mean, he's God the Son. He didn't say, I command you in my own name to let this cup pass from me, like some televangelists do. How foolish, how blasphemous, how dishonoring to God. But he did pray, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That ought to teach us something important about prayer. If the Son of God recognized that not every request is God's will and therefore can be granted and ought to be granted, what makes us think that every one of our requests is God's will and can be granted and ought to be granted? That ought to tell us to read the Bible a little more carefully and to take the promises in context. But all that to say, in this instance, here is a promise which, if taken in its context, is a certain promise, an unhindered promise, a promise without any ifs, ands, and buts or contingencies. The context, of course, is asking for wisdom in time of trials. So, in that situation, when you are facing a trial that God has sent you to drive you to your knees, and you recognize your need of wisdom, and you apply to God for it, here's the response. It will be given him. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all, that is, all who apply in this way, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. That's as good a promise as you're going to find anywhere in the Bible. Or maybe I should say that is as clear a promise. That is as unequivocal a promise as one you're going to find anywhere in the Bible. That's good. We ought to grab that one and run with it. A lot of times we pray, Lord, I don't know what your will is. This is my desire. This is my will. I don't know if it's yours or not, but I'm going to bring this request to you because it is a burden on my heart and it is what I desire and it is what I would love to have granted if it is in your will to do it. But we humbly and accurately recognize that we may not know the will of God in that matter, but in this matter we can know the will of God for sure. It is God's word to dispense wisdom to every one of his blood-bought children who come to him in time of need when they are wrestling with a trial and need wisdom for knowing how to face that trial in a God-honoring way. In that instance, every time you ask, you will receive the wisdom you ask for. I love the words of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And it goes on to talk about how eager God is to answer a request. I wish I had time to deal with that text a little bit more fully. But the original Greek, the verbs in that text, carry the idea of ask and keep on asking, and it will be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and it will be opened unto you. It is a promise of received petitions when we are persevering in prayer, as the context makes very clear, even as the language itself makes clear. And sometimes God does require that we apply more than once. But we have this wonderful promise in James chapter 1, verse 5. And I don't want to go back through it all again, but in that instance, when trials beset us, when we are driven to the wall, we're backed into the corner, we recognize we need help, we need wisdom, we go to God for it, what's the response? Wisdom granted every time. Every time. What a strong assurance in prayer. And what a great encouragement. The God who made us with a capacity to utilize divine wisdom will freely give it to those who seek it from him. The God who sent the trial to teach us our need will gladly grant the wisdom to meet the need which he has designed. This is a bigger issue than getting relief from our present suffering. It is about growing in grace. It is about growing in Christlikeness. It is about growing to get to know God better. So, with a promise like that, why would any Christian lack wisdom? Because we fail to ask God for it. And why would we fail to ask? Because we do not feel the need. So, God will send a trial to correct that. Sometimes we don't ask because we do not believe that he will give, and so we need to remind ourselves of the Word of God. And when we have understood God's own Word and realize that we are understanding it correctly as it is written in the context in which it is given, then we can go to God again and again and again and again and again and be assured that every time we lack wisdom and need wisdom and ask God for wisdom in times of trial, God will grant that request. You can take it to the bank. That's a promise that is as good as any promise in all the Word of God. You can take it to the bank, and may we do so regularly. Until next week, Greg Barkman, saying good day, may God give you his eternal peace.